The number one thing in the human experience is our health. If you're not healthy, if you're healthy, you get as many wishes as you want every day, and there's nothing more valuable than a hope and a wish, a prayer to your source, to your God. But if you're unhealthy, you only have one wish. No matter if you're Steve Jobs, doesn't matter who you are, and you are working, your activity that you get paid for is for the sake of the number one thing in the human experience, health. And our system screwed up, and it needs people like you that communicate effectively what the benefits are and how we can provide the number one value in life, which is health. Your health is everything. Your human experience is dictated by the time your heart starts till the time it stops. It should be a priority, not just for you, but for all of your customers, partners, all of the channel partners. Everything you do, you have to remind yourself, like my mom used to remind me, but for the sake of what? I'll be happy when I make $1 million, Mom. $1 million? I was gonna retire, buy her a house and a car, all on $1 million. But she said, for the sake of what? For the sake of other people, that's what I'm here. My mom gave me a name, you see it up there, David Meltzer. David means beloved. My last name, Meltzer, means servant. When I wasn't acting in accordance to my divine direction, the one that she assigned me and God is supporting me in, she would say, live up to your name, or you're not living up to your name. So I just want to start by taking a moment. I want to give a big round of applause to your mom, to everybody's mom. I want to hear it from you. Let's hear it. Come on, this is your mom. Let's hear it. Raise your hands. You love your mom. Let's hear it a little bit louder. Thank you. Awesome. All right, now you can sit down. Plus, I got a great video of a standing ovation I didn't deserve in the days of content. Not a bad trick, right? Right up front, I got a standing ovation. All the videos, they don't know what I said. So just for those of you that want to be a speaker, it's something I learned early on. Plus the energy, we got moving. So as I said, I grew up with six kids and a single mom for the sake of buying a house and a car for my mom. And I want to talk through my journey to teach you lessons that you can learn in your personal and professional lives. Lessons that have helped me make over $100 million, lose it all, and make it all back again. Something that's helped me save my life, save my marriage, and save other people's lives are these lessons and stories. First lesson I want to teach you is about lessons. Lessons are why we're here. Life is about lessons. They will keep on coming until you learn them. I have three daughters, and I keep seeing the same lessons. All the guys look different, but it's the same lesson that they're learning. You get my drift? And so the one thing I've learned, I went to law school, business school. I'm overeducated. But I was one of those people that wrote down everything. Anybody take a lot of notes out there? Yeah, that was me. All I got for that was a $1,200 a month storage bill now with banker's boxes full of notes from college, grad school, law school, business school, personal development from Bob Proctor to Tony Robbins to Wayne Dyer. And they're worthless. And then there's other people, especially today, they don't write anything down. They just think somehow, miraculously, they can remember everything that was important, that was said, and execute and access that information. Both are not the best methodology to learn lessons. What I've learned is to listen to your higher source. I'll talk about your God, the higher source, whatever is bigger than you that loves you more than my mom or your mom, protects, promotes, loves, and perfects you, even when you don't understand how this could not be punishment. Like when I lost everything, I had no idea. I told my mom, I'm like, why is God punishing me? I lost my mom's house in my bankruptcy. Lost over $100 million. The only one reason I wanted to be rich was to buy her that house. I lost it. And I told my mom, I'm like, why is God punishing me? She goes, God doesn't punish you. He protects you, promotes you, loves and perfects you. I said, Mom, I don't think I believe in God. And she smirked at me. My mom was very religious. And she said, oh, son, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. You need to take stock in who you were and what you want to become, like I taught you. And so I changed my life through understanding this idea of lessons. And what I've learned about lessons is that I only capture, like you will your leads, I only capture things that resonate with me. You see, when I feel strongly about it, I believe that's God telling me, hey, dummy, this is something you need to be aware of. Now, don't mistake intuition, this feeling. you know, I'll give you an example of something that dropped me to my knees. My mom told me when I lost everything, she said, son, you're either humble or you're about to be. That dropped me to my knees. That was a message to me. And trust me, when you're running the most notable sports agency in the world, I represented Warren Moon, who's my business partner later on in life, Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Evander Holyfield, Oscar De La Hoya, represented Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, Plexico Burris, fired him before he got shot. All of these different people, my humility was not there, and that resonated with me. So I've captured that lesson in my life. Now, if you strongly disagree with something, also capture it and ask, why is that upsetting me? Why is what this idiot said so upsetting to me? There is a lesson in that as well. Now, here's the distinguishment of intuition when you feel something that someone says in these lessons. Time, intuition, God's time, the Spirit's time, doesn't equate to man-made constructive time. What do I mean? Anybody here ever gamble? Anybody? Everybody's ashamed, but yeah, it's the number one way to make money. I used to gamble. I played a game called craps. It's a dice game. And I swear God talked to me when I played craps, and he would say, hard eight, which means double fours. So of course I listened to God, and I put $1,000 on the hard eight. I roll the dice, no hard eight. So I figure, oh, I might be off a little bit. I'd do it again. And then after $4,000 or $5,000, I'd stop doing it. And then four or five rolls later, hard eight would come. That's because your intuition, when you're connected to the intelligence that the universe is made of, your God, something that protects, promotes, it doesn't know man-made time. So don't make that mistake when you learn these lessons that somehow it's immediate in its lesson. So if you get that message, hard eight, don't bet on the hard eight. It's just the universe, God, your God telling you, pay attention, look for more clues, look for patterns that this is going to be important to you. And he does that through feeling. Inspiration. Inspiration can be feeling in positive or for something or against something. And so I want you today, as I go through some of the stories and the lessons that I've learned through the incredible blessing of my human existence, to write down or capture that which resonates with you. When I was young, the first thing that I learned was that I could enjoy the consistent everyday, persistent without quit pursuit of my potential. All my siblings, my mom had these sayings, you might have had a mom like this, doctor, lawyer, or failure. That's all I heard. Doctor, lawyer, or failure. I thought getting a B would end my life. I'm actually the only of six kids, the only one to get a B in high school, and I thought my whole life was over. So I didn't want to do what my siblings did. I wanted to please my mom, so I did well in school. But I wanted to be a professional football player. And everybody laughed at me. Thank you for not laughing, by the way. I appreciate that. I could tell you were holding it in. And I was convinced that I could be a professional football player, even though everyone around me told me, I better study. I better be a doctor or a lawyer. I'm going to be a failure. But I made it my mission for the sake of doing what I wanted to do. And I actually played football in college. Now, I used to tell people I was an average college football player, but I'm very close friends with my college coach today, and he actually told me I was a below average college football player, which is okay, because the lesson I learned was that if you can enjoy what you don't like or love about what you love, that's the secret to life. By the way, you can talk to my wife. It's also the secret to marriage. My wife has been doing that for 28 years, learning to love what she doesn't like or love about who she loves. But it's a secret to life to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent without quit pursuit of your potential. You see, people confuse discipline with devotion. You know, I coach a lot of people around the world, the chairman of Gulf Oil. I teach professional athletes. I teach owners of teams. And it's interesting because one of the things I see with entrepreneurs, and some of you may have felt this in your life, is that so many people get so disciplined and busy working, they forget for the sake of what they're working, and they don't make any money. Anybody know anyone that gets so busy working, they don't make any money? even though they'll tell you the reason I work is what? To make money. That's why they call it work. They call it activity I get paid for. You know, I see that with entrepreneurs all the time. They want to do good with their companies, and which is what I love about what you do, because it's for the sake of helping people with the number one priority in life, their health. But they forget about it, that they're there to make money. And the more money you make, the more people you can help and the more fun you will have. That's my motto. Make a lot of money to help or for the sake of helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. Why? Because my mission is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. I've never met anybody in my life that makes a ton of money and helps a lot of people with it and has a lot of fun with their money that isn't happy. And so I simplify what we're doing by teaching people this pursuit of their potential the same way I was pursuing my potential of being a professional football player. By the way, I realized the first play in college that I was mistaken about my goal. I was the fastest one on my college football team, so I was the bullet on the kickoff team. And I thought, I'm going to show everybody that they have underestimated the 147-pound superstar that I was. So I flew down the field, and I got to the ball carry immediately, and I smashed into him. And the next thing I knew, I was flying backwards like a flea, and he just flipped me off of his knee and stepped on me and kept on running. Now, later on, I found out that gentleman's name was Christian Okoye. He was the AFC Player of the Year the next year. His nickname was the Nigerian Nightmare, and I still have nightmares about. But I also got his autograph. I still have the size 13. But when I was laying on my back after he ran me over, all I could hear in my head was doctor, lawyer, or failure. And so I decided I'd be a doctor after that unbelievable debut as a college football star. And I went to go visit my oldest brother who was doing his residency. And I walked into a hospital and he looked at me and said, "What's the matter, Dave?" I said, "Man, I hate hospitals." He said, "You're pre-med, bro." "What do you mean?" I was 18 years old. He goes, "What do you mean you hate hospitals?" I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to be a hospital doctor. I'm going to be a sports doctor. I'm going to be on sidelines and locker rooms." He goes, "You're an idiot." And then he gave me the best piece of advice maybe of my entire career. And I tell people this all the time. He said, "David, you need to be more interested than interesting." And I find that to be a big problem today, is everybody wants to be so interesting on social media. They want to be so interesting in their conversations. They want to pose in front of places they don't own, things they don't do. And then other people see that and they want things that social media wants for them without taking stock in who they were and what they want to become, like my mom taught me. See, there's a huge energy gap today in the world, especially for our children. And I want you to take this back with you, because it used to be, this is who I am. I'd rather you not like me for who I am than love me for who I'm not, compared to this is what I want you to think I am. And this is a dangerous energy gap that social media has created, because everybody wants to be so interesting. I teach my children and other people, be interested. Ask questions about what people like, what they don't like, what's working, what's not working. Ask them what that you can do to be of service and of value and how they can help you. Be more interested than interesting. And I've carried that through to the point where I decided I wasn't going to be a doctor, since I hate hospitals. And I studied law for the sake of, at that time, being young, to buy my mom a house. So I went to a law school down in New Orleans called Tulane, because they had the number one oil and gas program in the world. And oil and gas litigators made the most money coming out of law school. And I went to law school to make a lot of money. That was it. So I could buy my mom a house and a car. And through that, it was interesting because I ended up getting a job when I graduated law school in 1992, to give you some perspective. But I got a job for $150,000 salary plus bonus as a lawyer. I also got a job offer in sales, which may resonate with some of you. I got a job offer from a big publisher, the biggest in the world, legal publisher, West Publishing in Minnesota, for $250,000 commission job for selling legal research on the internet in 1992. Now, Most people didn't know what the internet was. In fact, when I got so excited and told my mom, Mom, I think I'm going to take this $250,000 job over the $150,000 job, she said, are you kidding me? You're not going to be a real lawyer? The internet? David, the internet is a fad. Nobody's ever going to use the internet. You're making the biggest mistake of your life. Another lesson I learned, a very valuable lesson, especially in the space that you're in, is just because somebody loves you, and trust me, my mom thought way too high of me, loved me too much. Just because someone loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice. You see, there's two types of people in the world today. There's ignorant people that don't know what they don't know, and then there's ignorant people that don't know what they don't know. The difference between the two ignorant people is, one, the ignorant, arrogant people, you know, these haters, these attackers, these people that don't appreciate our differences, the ones causing divisiveness in the United States, in New York, that can't understand that we are not equal, but we should be provided equal opportunity, and we should appreciate the difference so we're better together. This is what, if I was running for president, I'd be preaching, teaching, and on my platform saying, let's all sit down and appreciate how much difference we have between us and appreciate it, add value to it, learn from each other, be more interested than interesting. And the other ignorant, arrogant people are more dangerous, though, like my mom and your mom, right? They love you so much. They care about you so much. The advice they give you is just to protect you. It's out of fear. You don't want to take advice out of fear. And I know it's hard because I'm a father of four, and I'll catch myself giving advice about what I don't know, especially with the different technologies out there and platforms. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And I'm like, oh, well, you need to go to college. And meanwhile, you know, my middle kid's making six figures at 17 years old on the internet. And my advice is just out of fear that I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want them to suffer or struggle, which is stupid, because how do we actually become great? By suffering and struggling. Nobody in the earth ever was great without suffering and struggling. You sit in the comfort zone your whole life, you won't be able to get out of bed someday. You want to be great? Then you, like a buffalo, you go into the wind. And you let your kids go into the wind. Advise them, be cautious, but don't be ignorant and arrogant with the people that you love the most. Just give them suggestions and ask them questions so they can empower themselves. And do that with your clients, your partners, the affiliates that you work with. Give them questions and give them suggestions, and then say, would it help you if? Or can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? And when I realized the fact that some of the most dangerous people in my life love me the most, I started to make my own decisions aligned with my own capability of my own divine direction. I talked earlier about the difference between discipline and devotion. These people that get so busy working, they forget to make money. Yes, they're disciplined. 4 a.m. they're up till 10 at night for the sake of their family, supposedly. But yet they've lost their direction. They've lost some of these goals that are up there to make a lot of money so they can help a lot of people, especially the people they love, and enjoy their lives. This is the human experience. And when they start to realize that devotion, that discipline is a subset of devotion, that devotion is when I pay attention to what I want and I give it my full intention. I'm going to do everything I can, say everything I can, think everything I can, believe everything I can, and feel everything I can, aligned with my divine direction, where I think I want to be or better, not where other people want me to be, not what's missing, not what I don't have, not what social media shows me, but what I want for my life in a divine direction with the divine detours. That's devotion. When you're disciplined in attention and intention into the coincidences of your life, the coinciding of what you desire, that's what occurs when you pay attention and give intention to those coincidences. That's devotion, a divine direction. Now, there's one caveat I want to teach you about this divine direction, is that people limit themselves all the time, not by how big their goals are. They limit themselves by the meaning that they give their past. You see, we've been granted a humongous power. You have the power to give meaning to everything you see. You have the power to give meaning to everything you see. That's why the theory of relativity works, because it's all in the contextual nature of what you believe. And you have the power to give meaning to the struggles, setbacks, failures, mistakes, defining moments, historical relevances in your life. And I see so many people limiting their imagination, limiting their self-image. And I will tell you one thing about self-image. If you're a parent, a teacher, or a community leader, there is no child on earth today that will ever overachieve their own self-image. So you better start working on the meaning that they're giving their mistakes, failures, setbacks, defining moments, and historical relevances today, because we don't want to limit the talent and skill that I see out there. People worried about your future? Don't. I meet so many kids. I'm the chief chancellor of Junior Achievement University, chairman of Napoleon Hill. Our bench is deep. We just need some great parents and great leaders out there to inspire them not to limit themselves, because they're giving a meaning to their past that is not aligned with their divine direction. And that's true about everybody, but especially these children. So if you hear someone limiting themselves, let them know you have the capability of changing that meaning. I lost over $100 million running the most notable sports agency in the world, losing my mom's house, and I gave it a different meaning. It didn't happen overnight. I had to keep on saying, doing, thinking, feeling, and believing every single day until it actually came about. But I kept telling myself, like my mom suggested to me and asked me questions about, the meaning of losing everything. It was to save me from the drugs, the alcohol, all the stupid stuff that I was doing. It saved my marriage. It saved my life. Is this behavior interfering with where I want to be or better? Or is this person in my life interfering or helping me? Is this idea aligned with helping me, or is it interfering with where I want to be? It's really simple. And so I want to double down on all the behaviors that are aligned with where I want to be, whether it's personally or professionally. And we are the aggregate of our behaviors. The caveat that makes it difficult is that things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden. So good behavior, it accelerates, aggregates, and compounds just like money. So does bad behavior. So what happens is, you know, we start working out every day, and we don't see the results. The evidence today is not aligned with where we want to be or better. There's no evidence normally when you start behaviors, good behaviors. Normally at the start, there's no evidence that you're going to get to where you want to be. And as you progress, the evidence becomes contrary. The reason it's contrary to where you want to be or better is because you don't know what you don't know. And this is where the lessons lie to get you to where you want to be. But it presents itself in challenges, struggles, setbacks, and mistakes. So when I lost everything, I had no enlightenment to say, oh, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm going to end up being even richer, empowering all these people, traveling the world, having a better marriage, being healthier. All the things I have today, 19 years later. Trust me, 2 years into it, there was no evidence. The evidence was contrary that I'd be standing in front of you in the position I am today. And I want to remind you that it doesn't matter, because I learned not to attach my emotions to the outcome, to create more fear, more interference to where I am. I just continued to double down on the behaviors that it was going to take to get me to where I am today, my divine direction, with humility that I don't know what I don't know. And it keeps on coming my whole life. No matter what stage of life you're in, the lessons will keep on coming until you learn them, and that's what's going to get you to where you want to be or better. So it's not just the wisdom, it's actually the faith that gets you there, which is why I think it's so important, regardless of what you label your faith as, that you believe in something bigger than you, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, unified, abundant system of thought that has enough of everything, more than enough of everything for everyone. And when you believe this, it carries over to the people that you work with. All of a sudden, all the dis-ease becomes dissipated, and there's more ease in your life, more sales, more love in your home, more success for everyone around you, because you're living in the flow. You're living in the source. You are truly a resource. you're connected to and through an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source that loves you, protects you, promotes you more than your mom. And so when shit happens, you know that you're walking with all that power. You just have to ask yourself, what am I doing to interfere with it? It's a shift in a paradigm. Tell yourself, I am happy. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am healthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am wealthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? All of a sudden, you know how to categorize the behaviors. Either this is in my divine direction or it's interfering with it. So how do we do that? I've developed 5 daily practices. Notice I talk about daily practices. Everything you do is just a practice. That's what life is. We're just practicing to create progress without attaching our emotions to a perfection. So I want you to practice every day. What? Practice being your highest self. So the biggest thing that you need to do to practice being your higher self is you need to know your divine direction and where that is, or better. So ask yourself every day, what is it I want today, personally, experientially, giving and receiving wise, in alignment with where I think I want to be or better? And then deal with the circumstances of the day and align the meaning of the past to help adapt to the circumstances of the day. Now, I have one hack that has really helped me about this knowing my what, is I cheat God a little bit. See, God gives everybody a guarantee. You may not know you have this guarantee, but I try to work in pragmatic, really simple things. God guarantees everybody in this room 24 hours a day. It's the common denominator of the human existence. Except for the last day of your life, he's going to cheat you. Keep that in mind. Here's the problem with each day. There's no certainty other than the 24 hours that he guarantees you. Nobody here can predict the weather tomorrow. Nobody. Nobody can tell you whether the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl next year or the Jets. I doubt it, but they might. I didn't think IU would win the national championship. My daughter went there. I would have bet against it. There's only uncertainty of tomorrow. So how do we create certainty within knowing what we want in the divine direction? Have non-negotiable behaviors for 12 hours a day. You're taking the control back from the uncertainty, because we can hedge 12 hours in the 24 hours to make sure that every single day I'm going to pay attention and give intention, be devotional about these things. It's applicable to what you do, because most of the non-negotiable behaviors have to deal with health. Just like business, if you don't have enough money to be in business, it doesn't matter how great your business is, you're out of business. It doesn't matter how great your life is, if your heart's not beating, you ain't gonna have a great life. It's gonna end. So for me, the number one non-negotiable is sleep. So I assign a minimum amount of time. I have a sleep coach, had for 18 years a sleep coach. Sleeping is for what? Recovery. Everybody knows in sports, those who recover better perform better, and access to information from the infinite. You want to speak with God? Sleep well. He's going to give you all that information for tomorrow. And then you can use some sort of meditation to transcend that information so that you have elevated awareness, so you know when to buy or sell, know when to go left or right. It's all awareness through sleep. Second thing, minimum amount of time on my health. All the things beyond sleep with my health are what God tell me. You guys know this because you see the bills for healthcare. Look, let's just make it simple. I'll tell you what you should focus in on for health, and I'm not a doctor. I hate hospitals. Number one, sleep. 2, breathing. Why breathing? Because if you don't breathe, you're dead. Your heart stops. God made it really clear. Bro, you should really focus in on breathing. In fact, I'm going to make you know it's important, because if you don't do it, you're going to die. Same thing, what's next? Oh, eating. God says you don't eat. Your heart's going to stop. So I say, focus in on what you eat. Drinking, same thing. And movement. Sleep, eating, drinking, breathing, and movement. That's my health every day, a minimum of an hour a day, making sure that I get better, I progress through practice in those 5 areas so that I live a long, enjoyable, healthy existence, giving me more at-bats to make more mistakes, to learn more than others, to have more wisdom and more faith, to get what I want and desire out of life, to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. then my family. You guys see this with health all the time. People are lying all the time. Oh, I'm doing it for my family. Oh, you're gonna have a heart attack for your family. Oh, you're not gonna spend any time with your family for your family. You're not gonna make any money to support your family for your family. Come on. I spend a minimum amount of time every day. I still spend a minimum amount of time with my mom every day. I kept her phone on my plan and I text her, you want a good piece of advice? You have parents? Tell them every day these four things, your relationship will heal beyond belief. You don't have to pay for therapy anymore, even if it's covered by your plan. Here it goes. Tell your mom or dad this every day. I am happy. I am healthy. I love you and I appreciate you. Those are the only four things a parent really gives a shit about. They don't care if you went to law school. They don't care how much money they make. They don't care about anything else. But if you remind your parents every day, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love you and appreciate you, they'll stop making you do shit to prove to them that you're happy, healthy, love, and appreciated. My mom used to make me drive an hour down to the house that I bought her to fix a screen door. I'm not a handyman. I'm the opposite of a handyman. I can afford to pay for a handyman, but she demanded that I have to come down there to fix that screen door. I didn't understand why. All it did was put more dis-ease in my relationship with my mom, who I loved so much and she loved me, until I understood when I became a parent, oh, I get it. She wants to make sure I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love her and appreciate her. Once I started telling her every day, very little things did I have to do to prove to her those things. My kids, every day, speak to all four of them, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I always have your back. You know how empowering that is for a kid? It's big. My dad never told me those three things. My mom told me those things every day, and it made all the difference in my life, which is why we gave her a standing ovation and your mom a standing ovation. You want to empower your children? Just tell them that you love them no matter what, you're proud of them, and you got their back. Because they're going to make mistakes and they got to feel comfortable with it. And if they don't know you got your back, they're going to be afraid to make mistakes. They're going to limit their self-image, which is going to limit their future. These are the non-negotiables. And what's nice about it is 12 hours a day, I'm spent sleep, health, family, faith, finance, the study of time, so I'm efficient, effective, and statistically successful, and the study of relativity. What is the meaning of what I'm doing? For the sake of what am I selling these health plans? You can go through and tell yourself, well, these commissions look great. Or you can start putting yourself into perspective that I'm saving lives, that I'm providing something that's the most needed service in this country. People take jobs just so they have the privilege of healthcare. You got to remind yourself, because it'll be easy to forget. Remember, the simple things to do are simple not to do. That's why people don't say thank you every day. Because thank you to me is so easy. You want to change your life? Say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up, like my mom made us do. And I know everybody's sitting there going, yeah. Anybody disagree with me that your life won't change for the better if you say thank you every day? All the great thought leaders write books about it. All the gurus on the internet are selling gratitude challenges to you. It works. Here's a crazy thing. Everybody agrees with me around the world, thousands of people, and by tonight, half of us won't say thank you. By tomorrow morning, another half of us won't thank you. And within 3 days, most of us will stop saying thank you. Even though it's free and it takes 0.1 seconds to do, and everybody on earth agrees it's the most powerful frequency in the world, gratitude. Why? Because the simple things to do are simple not to do. So beyond having non-negotiables, double down on the simple things. If something's really easy with a great impact, make it a non-negotiable. Double down on it. Go against human nature and make the simple things simple and do the simple things that have the most benefit for you. Things that take 0.1 seconds and are free and will change your life. Pretty awesome. You guys know all the healthcare studies about gratitude. Pretty powerful. So we want to know our what. Why is what so important? Because most people, and if you study Napoleon Hill, he talks about drifters. we'll give you an example since you all ate already. But most people live their lives like tubes. Food in, food out. That's their whole life. No definiteness of purpose, no passion, no profitability. Just flowing through life like a tube. Food in, food out. Rolling a boulder to the top of the hill like in Camus' The Stranger, just to have it roll back down the next day to the exact same spot. This sound familiar to people around you? Because it's about 98% of the people around you. It's nothingness that they're living in. But if you know your what every day and you have your non-negotiable behaviors for 12 hours, then you get to do whatever you want the other 12 hours, doing your best to prioritize according to the circumstances and learning and all the things that you do to make fun. If you do that, you'll have this definiteness of purpose in order to effectuate an exponential outcome in your life. You'll know your what. So you go from nothingness to what? A possibility, a mathematical advantage over everyone and everything. I go through life with possibilities every day. Super excited, optimistic. Now, how do we take that possibility and make it a probability? How do we increase the mathematical success of this? Know your who. This is the interesting one. The fastest way to get to where you want to be or better is to find someone that's already there and ask them for directions. Or find someone and help them get to where they want to be. So many people, they're great at giving. Anyone here like to give? You're probably in the profession that you're in because you like to give. Well, can I tell you the greatest gift that you can give to somebody? And I know it's counterintuitive, and it's something that I coach people and help them with, is to receive. What are you talking about, Dave? The greatest gift you can give is to receive. Let me tell you why. The highest we feel, the closest to God that we are, is when we are able and capable of helping somebody else. There's no greater feeling when we're able and capable of helping someone else. That's when we're closest to God. So when you don't receive and you say like my mom did when I was growing up to my rich uncle, no, 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 we don't need that. We don't need the help. No, it's okay. I got to pick up the bill. All the things that people do, you are cheating that person of being at their higher self because they're able and capable of helping you. And it's the fastest way to get you to where you want to be because they're able and capable of helping you get there. They've already paid the dummy tax. Right, I live in California and New York, so I'm double taxed for everything. You guys live in the most expensive state for taxes too, and everybody's all worried about these taxes. I was like, please, pay attention to the dummy tax over the state and local tax. Right, the dummy tax cost me everything I ever had and almost cost me everything I was going to have. So I'm always trying to seek people that have paid the dummy tax for me. I don't care about the extra 12, 13%, that's nothing. Know your who. Anybody ever hear the saying, you're the aggregate of the five people you spend the most time with? Not true. Or every mom of five or six kids would be the aggregate of their children. What they're trying to say is that you need, by subject matter, topic, and expertise, by what's important to you, you need to find the right team to play on. And you need to know the position that you're going to play on that team. You need to know that there's people on your team that sit in a situation that you want to be in, and there's people that you can help get to where they want to be on your team. And we need to be very intentional in the teams we play on and the position we play according to subject matter, topic, and expertise. You want to get great in sales? Then find the right sales team. Find the top seller and find someone that you can help to be where you're at. Pull up a seat next to you and they'll pull up a seat next to them. Everybody will continue to grow, expand, accelerate, aggregate, and the exponentiality will occur in the outcomes. Pick your teams and pick your position on those teams. Know your who and everything becomes a probability. The third daily practice is know how to do it. The only way I know how to do it is to assign time every day. 2 minutes a day, I'm going to repeat this twice, 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. 2 minutes a day of attention and intention is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. If you don't believe me, take any Spanish kid in the world that takes Spanish, any kid in the world that takes Spanish. I've never met a kid, because my siblings did this, I did. I've never met a kid that studied Spanish 15 minutes a day that didn't get an A. I know a bunch of idiots like me that studied 15 hours before the test and you didn't get an A. The same holds true in everything you do. The entire conscious continuum works within the discipline and a devotion of continuous, consistent, persistent behavior. Things grow upon itself. It grows very slowly, then all of a sudden, if you stay consistent, you invest your money consistently. Everything's about that daily, consistent practice. You want to know how to get there? Pick what's important to you behavior-wise and do them every day. And lower the bar. Don't tell yourself, I'm going to work out 6 hours a day, 7 days a week. Lower the bar. When I was 47 pounds overweight, and I started with this idea of intentional behavior, and I told myself, tomorrow, I'm going to put my gym clothes on. I laid them out. Right? A minimum of 5 minutes I'm going to spend being intentional about working out. That was it. That was my minimum. Each day. Even the first day, it wasn't enough. I put my clothes on. I'm like, you know what? Just drive to the gym, touch the door, go home. Well, I touched the door. I opened it. I saw an elliptical trainer. I said, you know what? Just go on it for 5 minutes. I ended up doing it for 30. And I went home and put my minimum of 5 minutes to go work out the next day. And it grew and grew. And here I am, 18 years later, more healthy at 58 than I was at 40. All because I lowered the bar and stayed consistent every day. Now, do I miss days even today? Yes, I'm human. Shit happens. But I'll tell you one thing I never do. Never stack two L's in a row. If I eat wrong one day, I double down to make sure I'm going to eat super healthy the next day. If I don't get my sleep one day, I double down, non-negotiable. Sleep is the number one thing. I'm not going to stack two L's because one time's an exemption, two times a new habit. So if you go from nothingness to knowing your what, a possibility to who, a probability, how now becomes your perspective. Remember, you have the meaning to everything. You're participating in perspective and you control your perspective. You can decide on your behaviors by your perspective. You can decide right or wrong by your perspective. And that gives you the ability to what? Do it now. My favorite is the fourth step, the daily practice. Do it now, do it next. 100% of everything you do now gets done. Everything you do next gets done. I'm not a big statistics guy. I don't like percentages. One of my favorite statistics is aligned with that. I believe that 99% of all statistics are made up. So that's one of my favorite statistics. But this one's true. 100% of the things you do now get done. I'm a do it now person. But in order to do it now, you need to know what's important to you. So by having your non-negotiable behaviors, you've already preset what's important to you. My sleep's important to me, my health, my family, my faith, my finance, the study of time and study of relativity are most important to me. That's why I'm committed, no matter what happens today, to getting that shit done today, now, and then I'll deal with the circumstances later. 100% of the things I do now get done. Do you know the statistical success of that? And what's great is you just need to know what's important to you, knowing what I want today beyond the non-negotiables, who I can help, who can help me, and how to get it done according to the time that's left and the circumstances of the day. See, prioritization is the antidote that holds you back in business. See, it's the antidote to two things, feeling overwhelmed or procrastination. These are the two interferences that most business people have in their business. They either feel overwhelmed and don't do shit, or they just procrastinate because they have too much shit to do. If you have too much shit to do, thank God, because that means he has provided you abundance and he's just giving you an opportunity to provide prioritization of all the shit he got you to do. Way worse if you have nothing to do. You want to sit at home high, broke, sick on your mom's couch? That doesn't sound fun. I'd rather be overloaded and overwhelmed with a whole bunch of different options, opportunities, and touches of favor from God and take on the responsibility and accountability of prioritizing all the opportunity that God gave me according to what I desire in my life. So I learned to prioritize each and every day what I'm going to do now and what I'm going to do next. And that's my reality. Creating acceleration, aggregation, and compounding all that I desire or better in my life, which is very simple. I want to make a lot of money to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. Real simple. Because I know that not only will make me happy, but it will empower other people to happiness as well. Now let's talk about the fifth daily practice, and I'm going to take some questions because I know I am more interested than interesting, and it's great to talk to you, but I'm really interested in learning from you what you're listening for. The fifth daily practice is the most important. It is applying your why. Applying your why to your life. See, most people come to me and say, Mr. Melcher, can you help me? I don't know my purpose. I don't know my why. I said, well, yes, you do. You're just interfering with it. It's already there. You're protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by your why. Stop interfering with it. Start applying it to your life. And I've come up with a very pragmatic way to help people apply their why to their life, to live inspired in spirit with intelligence, intuition, inspiration at all times. Looking at how the human experience works is that uncertainty creates fear. Fear evokes the ego. The ego edges God, goodness, gold out of your life. E-G-O, it's quite simple. And so a lot of us, like me, we go to therapy to figure out all these ego-based things, right? The need to be right, the need to be offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, all of these different things, these feelings that we have, infant trauma, past life trauma. Shit, I spend so much money on therapy trying to figure out the instant and obvious. So I finally said, you know what? In this paradigm shift, I believe that I am part of the why. I just need to apply it. It's already with me, my why. I'm just interfering with it. So I started to realize that all of these things that I was going to therapy to figure out from the traumas that I thought I had, I didn't need therapy for because they were instant and obvious. Does anybody need a therapist to know you're pissed off? No. That I was worried, anxious, frustrated, guilty, resentful, because those are the feelings that were interfering with my why. Those were the things that were stopping me from applying my higher self, my why, was the reaction that I was having to the uncertainty in my life. So certain things would happen. I was looking for clues and patterns. I had a terrible need to be right. I had a terrible need to be offended. Having a need to be offended is awful. You know, you have a need to be offended, just step outside. There's something that's going to offend you, and that offense is going to interfere with your better self, your higher self, where you want to be, your divine direction. So here's what I've learned in applying our why. That instead of all of these different things that you're trying to process through logic, analysis, know that emotion cannot be out-logicked. It can't be out-analyzed. That's why the whole at night, let it go, let it go. That shit doesn't work. You wake up worried worse. Right? Or worrying's terrible because not only does it interfere with your potential, but it's wishing for what you don't want. Anybody that's been in school and you're worried about a certain question going to be on a test, I promise you it'll be the first question on the test. So what do we do? Understand what God gave us is free will. So there's uncertainty. We're going to react with our ego to uncertainty with one of these things. Need to be separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, worried, something like that that interferes with it. Instead of trying to resist it, instead of trying to go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, deny it, just stop. It sounds simple, but remember, the simple things to do are simple not to do. So when I'm reacting to fear in one of these ways, I tried just to stop. That's my free will. I'm not trying to logic it, analyze it. Now, it sounds easy. If any of you are married like I am, especially for 28 years, I get into arguments with my wife, my ego-based argument. And in my head, as I'm saying stupid things to my wife, I'm like, stop. And then I'll say, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. Stop. And then I try to like walk away just to stop. And she's like, don't walk away from me. It's really hard to stop when you're angry, mad, separate, inferior, superior. But if you practice stopping, you then can drop. You can recollect, remind, and remember what you're part of. Part of a higher source that loves you, protects you. So when your mind, body, and soul are on fire, just keep telling yourself, stop. Keep practicing, stop. Breathe through your nose, out through your mouth. Drop down to center. Remind, remember, and recollect with your God, your higher self. And then you'll be able to roll back into your divine direction. One last piece of advice my mom gave me, my mom made it simple. Not only did she want me to live to a standard of being a beloved servant, but she said, son, when your mind, body, and soul are on fire, you just gotta stop, gotta drop, and you gotta roll. I promise you, if you know what you want, who you can help, who can help you, how best to do that every day, utilizing the time with negotiable and non-negotiable behavior, and you do it now and do it next, you prioritize your life by what's important to you, not what's important to other people, what's missing, what they don't have, what social media projects onto you, and you apply your why, I promise you one thing, you will make a lot of money, you will help a lot of people, and you will have a lot of fun. In other words, you will be happy, and you will make other people, empower other people to be happy. And if you do that, you are now part of my neighborhood, my frequency, and my mission. You certainly will make me happy. God bless all of you.